Hello. Welcome to the Context Machine, episode number 629. I'm Brian Chaffin. I didn't give you our guidelines.
Oh my God, who am I? I don't know what I'm supposed to say about who I am. Anyhow, I'm Jeff Gamet,
right.
And you should check us out on what Brian still thinks is our new home, contextmachine.io.
And you can use contextmachine.io to reach out to us. You can find us on Post to Mastodon, and we are, of course, our personal accounts are on Blue Sky and Threads.
And Threads and Mastodon and Instagram.
Geek Tales and Jay Gamet.
It's basically, if there's a social media platform that's not like criminal, to the best of our knowledge,
you
can probably find us there. Doesn't mean we'll answer.
No.
Doesn't mean Brian will answer.
No. But I might.
Never know.
I responded to two Threads posts this week.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. Someone.
I'm trying to pay closer attention to Threads.
Yes. Threads and Blue Sky.
Yeah.
Right. So,
great show.
We have some kind of deal with Apple doing a rip-roaring job on a classical music app.
Do I have
the details right?
Yeah, I think you did great. All right, so for those of you that are trying to decipher what Brian just said, you remember how Apple Music Classical was a thing that Apple announced, and they bought I just forgot the name of the company they bought.
Prime Phonic.
Well, Prime Phonic, yes. So they bought Prime Phonic, and Prime Phonic had the whole thing,
and that
where
was in 2021.
And Prime Phonic was like the platform to use for serious classical music listeners, because it had all of the right search features and discovery features, because classical music is categorized different from everything else. So Apple buys it, and then like, hey, and this is going to be great, and we're going to roll out Apple Music Classical, and you're going to have a much better classical music experience. And then when they finally do it, they dropped the iPhone-only app on us, which
iPhone and
is
iPad.
Shocking. No, it's an iPhone-only app, but you can install it on an iPad.
Tomato.
A difference. No, that it's like tomato carrot. because an iPad app has an iPad interface.
Yes.
An iPhone app that you install on an iPad has an iPhone interface.
But you can put it on your iPad. So calling it an iPhone-only app,
That's still appropriate.
No, it's not.
Because
there's another word that's better. I mean, I consume the vast majority of Instagram on an iPad, and it is the
that's a crap experience right there.
It works for me.
Oh, bless your heart. I mean, I'm glad it works for you, but it's still an iPhone app that you're running on an iPad.
Yes.
So it's not an iPad app. If it were an iPad app, it would have an interface that had been created to take advantage of what an iPad is.
Yeah.
And that's not what you have.
I get that. But so rather than saying that it's an iPhone only app, at the very least, it would be appropriate to say it is an iPhone-only app that you can install on your iPhone on your iPad. Did I get that?
Which
did I start
we did say. Up? No, you did. But it's okay.
I said
you're
it.
You cute,
didn't say
and
it.
So you can get away with that.
You didn't say it. You.
It was a group effort.
Okay, I'll give you that. It was a group effort. You knew that I was going to say
it. Was a group effort. Right.
You intuited that I would insert this key information into the discussion.
Right, because we've got that chemistry, and that's how it works. Otherwise, it just becomes a monologue, and we don't want that.
Right. Well, right. Some people may want it.
Okay, so other than you, we don't want it. And anyhow, where was I? Oh, right. So Prime Phonic, Apple rolls out their thing, and the places. March of this year.
Prime Phonic was bought in 2021. In March of 2023, Apple rolled out Apple Music Classical app.
Right. So this thing kind of drug out for a while. We finally get the iPhone app that you can also install on an iPad. You cannot install it on a Mac, which means that for most serious classical music listeners, what they need has never been delivered, which is an app where they can listen to the highest quality music files on the equipment that they want. And anyhow, so that's where we've been with that. There's a reason why we were talking about that. That was a setup for something, right?
Well, there is more news dealing with that.
Oh, right. The whole BIS yeah. records thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, which is a Swedish classical music label.
Right, which is not to say it's only Swedish classical music. It's just a classical music label that's in Sweden.
I would argue.
I know.
I would argue.
Oh, I'm sorry. You weren't done with your statement.
No.
Tomato and carrot. Is that where we're going?
I would argue that many people, I get the importance of having a classical music app on the Mac for home use. And, but I would argue that more people are playing classical music in their cars and streaming it to their Bluetooth speakers from their phone. I'm not saying that makes this okay, but I don't think it's quite as catastrophic as you're making it out. Just from the standpoint of how we actually use our devices.
It is so catastrophic. It is a failure. Failure, I say, Brian, failure. I will be happy when I have the Apple Music Classical app on my Mac so that I can play music the way it needs to be listened to.
You know, here's the funny thing. We have some role reversal here because you're totally taking my esoteric, you know, the way things should be to me because of my specific and particular needs, and then I'm being the one that's like, no, you know, you're totally over dramatizing this, and yeah, we have role reversal.
Are you proud of me? I mean, am I doing it? Am I doing it right?
Yeah, you are.
I learned it from watching you, man.
you're doing it right.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
What's interesting to me is above and beyond the classical music app. Oh, and that's the other thing is I don't really care about the classical music app.
Well, now we've gotten down to, you should have just said that in the beginning and we would have moved on.
You know, you're like blah, 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 classical music app, blah, blah, blah. I recognize its value, but I don't have a personal interest.
But you just don't care.
I don't care. I don't care.
That was a pretty impressive setup just for us to talk about the BIS records purchase.
But I find it interesting that Apple's buying a label. I also find it interesting that they bought another label in 2018 called Platoon. which I only found out because
we totally missed that.
Yeah,
both of us.
Mac Rumors reported that, and several people reported it, but I definitely have it here in the Mac Rumors story by, I might add, Hartley Charlton. So Platoon was a startup company that how did Rolling Stone put it?
Oh, Rolling Stone put it
kind of right.
It was very snarky. Hold on, let me scroll back down to wherever that was, you know, making the sausage here. I can't find it now, of course, okay, but it was along the lines of
while you're looking, I'll explain what the company does. You keep looking.
I'll keep looking.
So they were trying to, theoretically at least, concentrate on finding rising new artists. And
I found it.
Okay.
Apple just bought a company that acts like a record label.
Acts like a record label. Right. And this BIS record label is going to be folded into Apple's Platoon operations. It's just very interesting to me that Apple is venturing into labels. They're clearly not being super serious about it because they've only purchased two, and they're both, you know, one's a niche. One's probably like a very important company in the niche of classical music, which is a relatively small portion of the music industry. And the other label was, you know, relatively small, and they may have even really wanted to the talent, an acqui-hire.
Yeah, I mean, it could be about talent. It could be about gaining better access to licensing. It could be about technology for discovery.
Yeah, I really feel like Apple wanted to make sure they are getting ahead of trying to find new artists.
Yeah,
but they're not buying lots of labels. I mean, Apple could be a powerhouse in the label world if they wanted to be.
Well, they might be approaching this the same way they have approached content for Apple TV Plus, which is you don't need to buy all the stuff. You need to strategically get the right things. And so in this case, instead of going like with Apple TV Plus, they could have bought an entire studio and they chose not to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe they're doing the same type of approach here, but tailored for the music industry, where they're buying up the things that they need to be able to be strategically positioned in a place that's better than the other streaming music services. And this is just all part of that.
Right. So another interesting part of this is that I've not found articles talking about how much better of a label Apple is. So it seems to me.
Do you mean BIS?
Well, going back to Platoon, I mean, there are artists that are signed to this.
Oh, okay. I get what you're saying.
And so, yep. Like, you know, you would think that Apple would want to pay their artist well enough and treat them well enough that people are like, yeah, man, you totally want to be on the Apple label.
Which is different from the Apple label.
Yes.
Very for the
different.
Beatles.
Yes. Very different from the Apple label. And it's probably why it's still called Platoon, by the way.
Yeah, I bet you're right. But that's a good point. Yeah. I mean, I'm feeling like even though I have my serious dysfunction with the Apple Music Classical app,
yep,
that Apple is taking this part of the music industry very seriously, but they're moving forward in that methodical, calculated way that they have done in other industries.
That's fair. As opposed to this being like one of the things where they do something and they don't ever do anything again. You think right. they're being strategic and slow.
I think so. I really think Apple's long-term big moneymaker plan is their entertainment services industry or yep. market or space business. There we go, business. And the slow build-up and strategic acquisitions would fit in with that.
Fair enough.
So yeah, I think that's what's going on here. And but you brought up a really interesting point. Why aren't we seeing articles about musicians saying, "Hey, you need to get signed on with Platoon," or now, since Apple's buying BIS or bought BIS, man, we need to get signed up on that label because that's where we're going to be treated, right? That's not something I've ever heard.
Yeah. So the first page of results are multi-year articles about Apple buying it. The first page is like links to Platoon social media presence. So yeah, mm-hmm. there's no one talking about being on Platoon.
You know, you'd think that if it was something that people were talking about and exploring a lot more, that one of us would have heard about it. And when I say one of us, I would have heard about this so I could tell you about it. Oh, come on. That was funny.
Yes, I'm sorry. I was looking at the Platoon sites, platoon.ai. There are new single announcements. It's a nice looking site. Pre-save.
I'm bringing it up right now. I hadn't looked at it yet.
Calendar. Yeah, there's not a lot of information on the site.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I'm not trying to say, by the way, that the fact that we haven't seen articles about how awesome it is on Platoon, I'm not saying that Apple's failed at this or that Apple's doing it wrong. I just find it interesting.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's. I mean, 2018, here it is, what, 2023? And it's been that long, and you and I are both just now discovering this, and only because we were discussing the BIS records thing, and that led to articles that mentioned Platoon, and then it's like, oh, how did we not know?
Right.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, see, having Platoon and BIS, this to me is at least a little bit of validation for the idea that Apple is slowly and strategically building up their presence in this space so that they have a solid foundation as they continue to move forward and grow their services business.
Yeah. I'm with you. Okay, so I have a story for you.
Okay.
I upgraded to 16.6.1 on my iOS, on my iPhone and my iPad.
Excellent. Very, very critical security update because it patches a flaw where malicious actors could
text you,
gain access to data
by texting
on your devices. Yeah. Yeah, just by texting you an image, and you didn't even have to open the image.
Yeah, it's scary as can be.
Yeah. So good for you for installing that update. Everyone, if you haven't done it yet, go do it.
Yes. I haven't done it on my watch yet.
Go ahead and do it there too.
Yeah, I'm going to. Anyway, the point is that I noticed later that day, I did this yesterday, And later that day, I go into the Books app and I pull up my book, which I'm doing a final edit of. And I'm reading it on my iPad.
Wait, which book is that? Is that one Accidental Intelligence?
Yes. Thank you. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Accidental Intelligence, which is going to be released soon. And
that's the first book in the whole Mason Truman series. Yes, right?
The Tales from the Quantum Vault.
Okay. Just making sure I'm thinking of the right book.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much for specifying that. You're the best.
Sure thing. You know, mostly pedantic.
Yeah. And so one of the things I found over the years is that reading on my computer screen produces different results. Editing on my computer screen produces different results from editing on my iPad in bed, where I normally do all my reading. And I, you know, I'll make notes in the Books app, and then go back through and then make those edits later. And it produces very different results. I find all kinds of things that I hadn't found when I read it. And keep in mind, this was my second time to read this book in 3 weeks, and my 40th or 50th time to read it, period. But
and you're still surprised by the ending?
No. I am not. Hopefully. Some. Anyway, the point is that the update ate my progress and my notes from the book.
Wait, they're just like gone.
Gone. Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah. It opened up to the first page, you know, and I was 2/3 of the way done through it. And, no notes, and no notes on the version that was on my Mac, no notes on the version that was on my iPhone. And my notes are gone. And that.
So did you roll back to like a recent backup?
Yes, in that no. Because I didn't back up my frickin' devices before I installed this update. And that's what we're actually here to talk about. The importance of updating, of backing up, especially when you're updating. We should be backing up at least once a week, if you care about the data on your devices.
How about if I share with you my backup routine for my iOS devices?
Sure.
All right. So I do have iCloud backups happening. I get that for some people that they're not comfortable with that because maybe they don't trust that the backups will be there. They don't trust Apple having that data, whatever.
It's not that I don't trust Apple having that data. It's that I don't trust the further access that malicious actors can get to it if it is on iCloud.
That's totally fair.
There's a different kind of encryption for things that are on iCloud.
Let me give you an alternative, which for me is just another aspect of my overall iOS device backup.
Okay.
Get iMazing. By the way, people, there's no endorsement in this other than me just actually being a user.
You're endorsing it. There's no paid endorsement.
There we go. There's no paid endorsement happening here. This is just a product that I use, and it has been incredibly useful for me.
iMazing is Brian, fantastic.
Yes. So put iMazing on your computer. And what I did was I got an extra drive that I plugged into my computer, and it's an encrypted drive. And so I have my iMazing backups going to their own separate drive. So I've got it all stored locally on a drive that, like, if for some reason I needed to cut and run, because I live in a wildfire area,
I can just grab drives and go.
or if I'm going on the lam, yeah. And then I have that drive, which is encrypted, backing up to Backblaze as well. So I have my iMazing backup stored locally, and then and then an encrypted backup going offsite.
Right.
And you can automate with that. And so your backups can happen anytime, you know, when you're plugged in through a cable to your computer or just over Wi-Fi. So you can have this where it's just happening all the time for you. Right now, there is a really annoying thing that's totally on Apple, where when iMazing goes to initiate its backup, I have to enter my passcode on whichever device it is. Ooh. And it's totally an Apple thing. And it's stupid. Even though it's a trusted device, I still have to do that. But even with that stupid hurdle that Apple has put in the way, I'm getting regular backups, and I can granularly restore just what I want if I lose something. Another bonus, let's say you have like a voicemail from someone or a text message from someone that like a family member, where they might be gone. And those messages suddenly have a lot more value to you.
Sure.
iMazing, it's got all that stuff. So you can just go into your iMazing backups and pull that stuff out and have separate copies.
Okay.
So you can save those messages. So you should at least be doing iMazing.
iMazing is amazing. And I somehow stopped using it at some point. And I should have used it I should have been doing something. Because then I would have been able to restore to my backup and had my dang book notes. But I don't think that this is going to happen to everyone who updates to 6.6.1. I think this is probably some freak of, you know, just some coincidental thing involving my device and or my settings. But it is a good reminder that we should all be backing up.
Oh, absolutely. Because it's not a matter of if you lose data, it's a matter of when.
Yep.
And how much.
Yep. And I've been really lucky, considering my lackadaisical approach to backups, that this is that. Well, I'm only assuming this is all I lost.
This is what you know about right now.
Yeah. And this just happened yesterday. And we have a separate lesson based on your story about backing up and about
updates. Yes. Okay. So we've established that I'm pretty serious about my backups. We didn't even go into my whole Mac backup routine, which there are some people that would be like, sweet. Bob Levitis would be very proud of me. Other people would be like, seriously, what the hell? But anyhow, so I run whatever the most recent iOS beta is on one of my iPads, so that I'm aware of what's going on with the new operating systems and what's working, what's not, get to play with features, so that when we're doing shows like this, we can talk about those things and have some idea what we're actually talking about.
Right. You run the betas so that we can talk about them.
Right. I thought that's what I said, but yes, thank you for clarifying that. Yes. So I have this iPad sitting here, and I've been running the developer beta of iPad OS 17 on it, doing the periodic dev beta updates. And yesterday I realized I hadn't installed this week's developer beta update yet. I should do that, because there's a very high likelihood that this is actually going to be the final update, and this is where it'll freeze, and this will end up being the official release when that comes out at some point after Apple's September 12th media event. So I go ahead and do it.
Hold on. Although, if the iPads aren't going to be updated at this media event, iPad OS also will not be released.
I think I'm wrong on that one. I think that Apple's going to release.
Yeah, they may well. I'm just saying that it's not necessarily given that because they're going to release iOS 17, they're going to release iPad OS 17.
That's true. And like last year, it was a couple months after iOS came out that iPadOS update came out. That said, I think this year they are dropping at the same time. There's enough information out there that has me thinking that this is year it's coming out. And anyhow, it doesn't matter because the big thing is I needed to get this update installed. So I start the update and my iPad reboots. And this is like a 10.5-inch iPad Pro. So it's the last model that had the physical home button.
Yep.
And so it boots up and I get this thing on the screen that says press the home button to install the update. And I do. Now it needs the passcode for my iPad and I enter it and it tells me it's wrong. Now, keep in mind, this is the passcode that I had entered mere minutes before so that I could start the update. And I know what passcode is on this iPad. And now it says, no, that's wrong. That's not the passcode on this iPad. And so I thought, well, maybe I misunderstood and it's the passcode for one of the other devices. Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. So it gets better or worse, depending on your perspective, because I can't even get this iPad to go into the reset mode so that I can plug it into my iPad and, into my Mac and do the full reset there. It's a device that is just basically stuck now at a point where it wants a passcode so it can install the update and it's not going to happen. So here's the deal with that. I have an iPad that is currently bricked, but I will work with Apple and we'll be able to get past that. If this had been a mission critical device, I would be screwed right now. And this is exactly why I do not put beta operating systems on devices that I need to use to do my job.
Right. And that was the lesson we were getting to.
Yes. So I'm not freaked out about this iPad being totally borked right now. I'm just annoyed. And I'm not losing any data. I'm not losing any work. When I get this thing working again, I'll end up with a device that's been completely wiped and factory reset. There'll be nothing on it. And that's okay, because that's what a beta device is for.
I think it gets easier as the years go by to forget this, to think that the beta process is going to work and everything's going to be fine and you're just going to run, like maybe you've got an iPad, an iPhone, and an iMac, and you're just going to run it on your iPad, or you're just going to run it on your phone, or maybe you're even just going to run it on your Mac. And the reality is that losing data, having the system brick, is a possibility with betas.
Yeah, something can go wrong. You can have data loss. You can have a device bricked. Brian, I blame Google for a lot of this, actually, because Google had people running like mail. Gmail was a beta for years and years and years. And so Google had people running beta software just as a matter of course. And I think they did a lot to make people think
desensitizing
beta is just okay. What?
Desensitizing us.
Thank you. Desensitizing us. Yeah. And then Apple, they're playing into this too by giving people the public betas. Now, granted, that gives Apple a much larger pool of information about how operating systems are being used and where bugs might be. So it's really useful data. But the problem is, even with Apple saying, hey, you need to be really careful with this, you need to make sure you have backups, and you need to make sure that you're not running this on devices where it's mission critical, people aren't really getting that, and they're just installing and thinking, oh cool, I've got the new operating system, this is awesome. And something doesn't work, something goes wrong, something is broken, And then it's suddenly a big problem. So yeah, don't run beta software, beta operating systems on mission critical devices.
That is excellent advice. And I'm kind of glad this, I'm being very careful here. I'm kind of glad this happened because it did give us the opportunity to talk to our listeners about it.
How about you appreciate that circumstances conspired to allow us to have this discussion without it being a situation where I am screwed?
Man, I am screwed, though. I lost so many notes, so many little things that I found to improve about my book, and I'm going to have to start over. And I've seriously read this book 40 times or more. And it's a little intimidating to start over.
And your misfortune does absolutely suck. I appreciate that we were able to use your misfortune to help educate and remind our listeners about the value of doing backups. I'm still sorry that you lost your data.
Thank you. But, you know, I absolutely blame me. I called up AppleCare. And, you know, hoping against hope that they would know something that I could do to get the notes back, mm-hmm. something like maybe something with iCloud in particular. And, and you know, we discussed the fact that I wasn't backed up and he goes, oh, I said like, yep. Okay. Thanks. I appreciate your time and help. I'm not mad at Apple about this. It's totally my fault.
Yeah, I want to give Apple some blame here, because there's something that happened with the update that lost some of your data. That said, there are so many variables that can come into play, and it's impossible for any company to be able to find all of these contingencies and account for them.
In particular, you know, I could have backed up.
And you could have backed up.
So, well, that's it.
I'm looking forward to hearing how quickly you get iMazing set back up on your computer.
Thank you. I got a cover too for my book. I'm very excited about that. I'm going to be doing a cover reveal in the next few weeks.
Oh, very cool. I am very much looking forward to that. I don't know if you've been able to pick up on this, but I am actually really excited about how close you're getting to publishing your book.
Yeah, man.
I haven't read it as many times as you have.
You've read it a lot,
though. I've read it multiple times as a beta reader, and you have left me champing at the bit waiting for the second book. And so I'm feeling like we're getting close, because if book one is getting close to rolling out, then that means you can really be focusing on the second book in Mason's series.
Yep. And you know, you've been one of my, you and Sam are my two biggest cheerleaders. So thank you.
Well, I'm going to keep cheerleading, and I'm going to come right out and say it, people. When Accidental Intelligence gets published.
Yeah, it is accidental.
it's Accidental Intelligence. So, Brian, surprise, the name of your book is Accidental Intelligence. So when this book comes out, you should totally read it. I think you'll like it. No, but everyone, Brian did a really great job with this book, and it's an awesome story, and
thanks.
It's great.
I appreciate it, man. All right, let's do this. let's say that's this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add or question, you can write to us at contextmachine.io. Our bandwidth provided by Cashly, the bass is by Dr. Boom, recorded for this show. And that's all for this week.
And we both have diction problems today.
Yeah, I do.
Diction. I said diction.
I said diction.